All right, welcome to our Bible study, the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, September 27, 2023. We'll be meeting here in National Liberty Alliance's room, stop meeting room, every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live to or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes with a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one enters the queue, we will continue to study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take notes of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. All right, we'll start off with a prayer. Most holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessings as we continue looking into thy word. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently and walk in thy ways. Therefore we ask that you keep us from wandering away from thy commandments and that you hide your word into our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me move this off the... Let's try that. There we go. Okay, we'll pick up where we left off last week. We were looking at the numbers in the Bible, and I don't believe we started salvation. No, I think we're going to be picking that up right now. So we're going to look at salvation, God's salvation plan. And again, these are prerequisitional requirements, really, before we get into the book of Revelation, and salvation surely should be part of that. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did look in at a seasoned gospel, which, of course, means people need to understand, you know, what we're being saved from. And we're going to talk quite a bit about that, a gospel that does not season with salt. And God requires, he commands us. To season it with salt. You know, fear of God is the beginning of understanding and wisdom. And God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because our future is hell eternal, whatever exactly that is. But that's the penalty for sin. And so people should be working out that salvation with that fear and with that trembling. So let's look at God's salvation plan. We read, the question is, what must I do to be saved? We read in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. It's really horrible to say it, but, most Christians are not necessarily saved. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. There's only a remnant. And a lot of Christians are working out their salvation plan of their own works. But the Bible is clear let's look into see what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that, of course, is the beginning of the gospel of repentance. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the word of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocents without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy to gain, of gain, which taketh away the life of the owner thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. They shall seek me early shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much the more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keepers of the prison awake out of his sleep. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So the big question is, what must I do to be saved? And of course, ultimately, there's nothing that we can do to be saved, but we should be going through a process, and we should recognize that, of course, is the work of God inside of us. We're saved by the faith of Christ. It's not our own faith. It's Christ's faith. It's the faith of God. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, that by these ye may be partakers or partners of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he has purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For it is in this fashion an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, of course, if we've come to salvation in Christ, we should be seeing growth, and we should be seeing virtue, faith, and growing in faith. And the Bible tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So we should be growing in our faith. Our faith should be becoming stronger and stronger. The more time we spend in the Word of God, the stronger our faith becomes. That's what the Bible teaches us. And in that faith, of course, we should eventually gain virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, godliness and brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness and charity. So these are the things that we would test to see if we're saved or not. So it is in this fashion, for so, the word so means in this fashion, for in this fashion an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and now, even now, already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is the key here of what this verse is talking about, these verses. Let me finish reading and we'll go back and look a little more. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That is the key. Beloved, let us love one another. For love of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is that love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiatory for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out our fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Okay, I just want to go back to this verse. Hereby we know the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And God speaking specifically in the temple, in your body, Jesus Christ in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. As we look into the context, he pretty much makes this clear, that is the key part. You know, there was a time when some individuals were brought into the church. I think it was by Peter, if I recall. And Paul had some conference with them. And he went to Peter and told Peter, you know, talked to Peter about these people and said, in conference with them, they added nothing unto me. So, in other words, they didn't understand the Word of God. They were not growing in God's Word. And they that seemed to be somewhat, is adding nothing unto me. I think that's how Paul put it. The Bible talks about that we would speak in new tongues. A lot of people misunderstand that. You know, it was true that back in the days of the apostles, that people did speak in tongues in the church. Before the Bible was completed, God spoke to the church, to the people in the church through tongues. And God commanded that, if anybody speaks in tongues, they're not to speak in tongues unless there be an interpreter. So if there's a second person there that is not interpreting that which God is claiming, this person is claiming that what God said, then they should be silent, God said. And today, a lot of people, get involved into that tongue business, and these are false gospels because they're adding on to the Word of God. The new tongues that we speak into is the new language of the Word of God, the things we look in today. The Bible, we speak of the things of the Bible. We look into the interpretations thereof, some of it being hard to be understood, but we look into that, and we can see and hear God's voice and understand the things that he is teaching us. And we're going to be seeing a lot of really great interpretation in the book of Revelation once we finally get into that book. But again, we should be able to recognize the Spirit, because their response back to us should be in harmony with what we know and what we think and what we understand. And salvation, again, is a major problem for a lot of people. People think that I can just believe in Jesus, but it's more than that. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and you would keep them in your heart. That's where you keep his commandments. We're not going to keep them perfectly because we're sinners. And Paul spoke about this, oh, wretched man that I am. So we're supposed to be crucifying the flesh. We're supposed to be growing in his word. We're supposed to be spending time in the Bible. And if we're not doing these things, we better be questioning our salvation. And again, how a person responds in their knowledge of God, because again, knowledge is something that they will attain. Of course, there are people who are babes in Christ, and they should be at a position where really they're doing a lot more listening than talking. But repentance is the beginning, and we will do the will of God, because he makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right, finally, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Okay, of course, there's a lot more in the Bible about salvation, but I think we touched the basics of salvation and the relationship we need to be having with our Bible, with God, with the Word through the Bible. You know, that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, parables. And let's look at some information concerning parables. And this is extremely important because, you see, parables is the key to understanding and knowing the Bible. The Bible, of course, is a book that teaches morality, gives us history, it tells us how we live our life, and how our relationship with Christ should be, and how we should grow in faith, and so on and so forth. But every single word, every single sentence, every single paragraph, from the first paragraph in Genesis chapter 1 all the way up to Revelation, I think Revelation goes to 22, chapter 22. Every single word, every single phrase, every single paragraph, you can find a parable in it. Whether it be a historical parable or just a parable, an earthly story expressing or explaining heavenly things, giving us understanding and knowledge of the salvation plan and of what God's plan is with his church and the condition of his church as we get to the end of the world. And again, of course, that's mostly what Revelation focuses in on particularly. Okay, Proverbs, a parable, okay, figurative language, again, explaining or expressing an earthly story. And again, let me get back to one other thing. Well, no, let's continue on. I'll get to that when we get to it. Psalms 49, verses 3 and 4. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Now, the harp ultimately is the word of God. You know, we're going to see later on in the book of Revelation, we'll get a picture of the saints standing on a sea of glass with harps. And that means that they're bringing the gospel to the world. That's the focus. That's the meaning. And we're going to see that when we get there to those verses. We're going to look at a lot of verses that express and make that clear, line upon line, precept upon precept. A wise man, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 through 16. Oh, well, probably only 5 and 6. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretations, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And remember, I believe we saw this earlier, where God speaks about, to be earthly minded or carnally minded is death. Life is a spiritual mind. To be spiritually minded is life, and that's what Christian is, to be spiritually minded. Of course, we live in a carnal world, and we have to deal with the flesh, and we have to crucify the flesh, and we have to learn to know the difference between right and wrong, and God has put that into our hearts, and of course that is part of things. But again, the key thing is really that relationship with God through parables, understanding the spiritual things, the deep things that God has. You know, God speaks about the works of men being tested at the end. And talks about wood, hay, and stubble. And that will all burn up, okay? But then he talks about, of course, precious stones and other things, which are spiritual things. And of course, they will be tried in the fire. And that is the focus of the Bible, is to bring forth spiritual things. And, of course, the message of salvation. Okay, and who hath ears to hear? Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 18. And we hear that often, this particular phrase, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We hear this a lot. We're going to hear a lot of this in the book of Revelation. And his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ear a dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So here God is going to now give us some information on how to look at these parables, and in this case give us the meanings of these things. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then come the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy and receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed on the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it which also beareth fruit, and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Matthew 13, verses 34 through 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20. And he called the multitude, and say unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples, and saith unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both they shall fall onto the both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand what whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the mouth? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Okay, you know, when God speaks, we'll see this, I think, as we go through. You know, those who are on the milk of the word are as babes in nursing, and at some point in time they're able to eat the meat of the word. And the meat of the word, of course, is the deep things of God, the spiritual things. But just as when we were children, you know, we couldn't eat meat or anything of any, you know, substance. You know, we had to first grow strong in the milk of the milk, just like we need to grow strong in the milk of the word, and then eventually being able to eat other things. Okay, Mark chapter 4, 10 through 13. And when he was alone, they that were about him, with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing again that they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may not hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Mark 4, 33-34. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So every single word uttered out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, out of the mouth of God ultimately from Genesis to Revelation, is parables. There's the deep spiritual meaning, and then, of course, there is the moral teaching, the historical, and so on. Luke chapter 8, let's look at this one. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. I'm not sure what verse this goes up to, I guess about 14. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprung up and bare fruit, some a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Now, I know we had this from another, I think it was Matthew, we read a little bit about this, but this gives you a little more information, especially looking at the fowl. And we're going to be looking at the fowl in the book of Revelation, or the eagles. And we're going to look into, you know, other places in the Bible that expound on what Jesus is going to tell us right now concerning that. So anyway, he goes on. "And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh it away, and the word out of their hearts, lest that they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which are for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." I guess we'll continue reading a few more. There's only two more to go on here. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. "But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye of the all your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve the other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people." Now again, we're going to be coming up to see this word Israel quite often. And Israel, you know, has quite a few meanings to it. It could be the Israel, the nation of Israel, which identifies with the corporate body of the Old Testament, where the spiritual body dwelt within that corporate body. And, of course, that provided protection also, just like the corporate churches, again, is the corporate body, and the Spirit dwells in it. And as long as the body of Christ, which has the Spirit of God, dwells in it, then the Spirit of God dwells in that church, and the Spirit and the Word of God goes out of that church. But once that body of Christ is removed, that candle is removed, then from that point forward, it becomes a dead church, a dead carcass. We're going to see a lot of that language in the book of Revelation. But again, Israel has many, many meanings. Again, you know, there's Jacob and Israel. Jacob and Israel. Remember, Jacob's name was Jacob and then was changed to Israel. And so that really is a picture of really being born again. And again, Israel identifies often with the body of Christ, and definitely identifies with the entire body of Christ, being Old Testament and New Testament. We're going to see that in our study too. But again, as I mentioned before, Israel also is a corporate body. So again, the context really reveals, you know, the meanings of a lot of these words. And many words have more than one meaning, but again, the context will explain or expound on which, how to really understand that. Let me see where. I guess I'll pick up here in 8. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And God, again, is speaking as a proverb, that Israel will become a proverb. Why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Okay, and finally, John chapter 10, verse 1 through, looks like 18. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber. But he that endureth in by the, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. And that kind of bears witness to the point we were making a little earlier here, the fact that, you know, people should hear the voice of God in us, if so, that the Spirit of God does dwell in us, and we should see it in them. So that's where the communication, that's the bearing witness of knowing, you know, who has the truth and who doesn't. So anyway, it goes on. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not that what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. And of course he's talking the difference between the Old Testament believers and the New Testament believers. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Okay, latter rain. Well, I don't think there's much to be looked at here. Well, I guess there is a couple pages. You know, the latter rain is the early rain and the latter rain. And the latter rain takes place after the Great Tribulation. And we're going to look at the Great Tribulation. We're going to have a whole different understanding of what Great Tribulation is from that which we hear from many, many people. There's all kinds of strange ideas of what Great Tribulation is. And the Great Tribulation is not for the believer. But in the world, you will have tribulation. That is part of the life of Christians. And that goes all the way back. During the Great Tribulation, we still have tribulation. But the Great Tribulation is upon the corporate church. And that's what we're going to see quite clearly as we look into the book of Revelation. Okay, the latter rain. Water is figurative of the gospel. You know, there's the water baptism to be sprinkled with the water, for the rain to come upon it and rain and bring up the grass and the plants and the herbs and so on and so forth. It's all a picture of the gospel. Okay, John chapter 4, verse 10 to 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that sitteth, that saith to thee, Give me to drink. This is when he met the woman at the well. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our fathers Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof of himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, they shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be unto him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So again, anytime we come into the picture of water, we're going to see most of the times it identifies with the gospel. Sometimes it's poisonous water, a poisonous gospel. And it'll be identified, of course, by the context. We'll see the language around it that'll give us the clue on which water it is. Proverbs 16, verses 15 and 16. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Now again, you know, we look into clouds. Clouds are really moisture, and it builds up. Eventually it rains, it brings water. You know, there are clouds without water. It talks about false prophets. And of course, Christ comes in the clouds. We're going to see those pictures in Revelation and look deep into the meanings of a lot of words in that picture. But Christ coming in clouds, behold, he cometh with clouds. We are the cloud of believers. We are the cloud bringing forth the rain, and we're coming with Christ, and Christ is sitting on a cloud. There's lots of pictures he's going to give us with clouds when we get to that point. Okay. James chapter 5, 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. And the early rain, of course, is the New Testament era, leads us into great tribulations. There's a silencing of the gospel for a period of time, and then coming out of the great tribulation, as far as the believers are concerned, come out of her. Then at that point, the latter rain is now brought out into the world and the gospel continues out. There are some people that teach that there's a period of time when there is no salvation available. I do not see that in the Bible. The salvation is always available. But there are time periods when the gospel goes out and it's very fruitful and a lot of people respond and God is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. But then there's a period of time when the gospel is very far and in between and not heard. But again, God is still working. And then you get the latter rain and things brought, again, the abundance of the water, the rain, the gospel, bringing forth that salvation onto the world. Okay, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1-12. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. But it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partners or partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You know, a lot of people think that people can fall away. You know, someone's saved, you fall away, and you come back, and you fall away. No, look, if you fall away, you're not saved. That doesn't mean that person isn't going to be saved. It could be that God is working in them, and making them to willing to do it as good pleasure. You know, I know I was back and forth in the beginning of my walk with Christ, and till eventually I now just walk with Christ. And we hit the 45-minute mark. If anybody has a question or a comment, you can just open your mic up. And let me just finish this part of the chapter. I see someone, Dorian, has the hand up. Hang on a second, Dorian. Let me just finish the rest of this. So it brings them to an open shame. For the earth, which identifies with the church, you know, the body of Christ, or the corporate body, for the earth, which drinketh in the rain, that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth the blessing of God. And these herbs is a picture, of course, of people. It could also be identified with spiritual food, but it's people. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, a place where there's not much rain at all, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have so showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Okay, Dorian, you got a question? I see your hand is up. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, John. My question is, did you say you believe that speaking in tongues is a false doctrine?
Well, we all will speak with new tongues. And if we look very carefully into the Bible, we will find out that the speaking in new tongues is speaking in the new language, talking about salvation and the things of God. All these things are new tongues. It's a new language. But there was a time period, okay, when God speaks of the time when the tongues will fail. Once the Bible is complete and the full word of God is given, the necessity of speaking in tongues is no longer a necessity. Now, I'm sure there were times, even after the Bible was complete and was moving through the world, there were places or times when the people didn't have the full Bible and God would use the tongues. But there will always be an interpreter. God says, without an interpreter, don't speak in tongues. Now, if a person is speaking in tongues, you know, one of the things God tells us, and we're going to find this at the end of the book of Revelations, God says that anybody who adds to the prophecies of this book, the curses and will be added onto them, or anybody takes away, it'll also be taken away from them. So we got to be very careful not to add to the book. So if someone is bringing in tongues, coming in tongues, and bringing in some new words, new things to add into the Bible, well, that becomes a problem because God has already says you can't. There's no more adding. The Bible has ended. It's finished. The Word of God is from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation and everything in between. That's the Word of God, 66 books. And now some will say, we could speak in tongues and basically we're just, reiterating something God has already said in the Bible. But that's putting more focus on a particular point that God does not put a focus on. So that could become a problem, too. Because, you know, there are certain things God is redundant with over and over. He's very redundant with. And some things he may only say a couple of times. So if we add to that and add more to that, even if it's identical to the words, now we're either making it, you know, adding more and being redundant about something or not being redundant. That's a possibility too. But yeah, God speaks of a time when tongues will cease. So, but we will all mark. Yeah, I think it's the end of the book of Mark talks about one of the things we will do, which is a sign we speak in new tongues. But the new tongues is the language of the Bible. We talk about salvation. We talk about many, many things in the Bible, spiritual things and so on.
Okay, because I've been praying in tongues myself for many years, but it's something I do privately. I don't know.
That's a different story. The spirit moves for things that we don't understand and can't even utter in our intellectual way. So okay. God does speak of that. But bringing a tongue out in a church to bring a message to people, Okay,
Yep, I agree.
that's
I agree.
where the danger is. And just think about that. If that is true, we have to have the whole counsel of God. And if that is true, someone needs to record that. And we need to add it to the behind the book of Revelation as more scripture, more information. Okay, you can see how that's a problem, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, that is very much a problem. I agree with that. Thank you, John.
Okay. All right, a couple of more, and then we'll move on to the next. If anybody else has a question, raise your hand. I don't know. Do you know how to put your hand down? I don't even know how you put it up. Okay.
Let me see if I can figure that out. I have my daughter here. She'll help me.
All right. All right, we've got a couple more minutes, so we'll finish off on the verses on this page. And next week, tomorrow, we'll be meeting again. We'll pick up on the next thing we're going to be talking about. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 20. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him, and with your whole heart, and with your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that ye may gather together in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eatest, and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and ye shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them, let me get rid of this, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them which thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou raiseth up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. They say, if a man put away a wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lean with. And in the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers shall have been withholden, and there shall be hath be been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead, who refuseth to be ashamed. Okay, again, you know, we're looking at the difference between the gospel coming out, the early rain and the latter rain. And it's the same gospel, of course. It's just that there is a period of time of silence, or where there's not much going on, let's say, at least in the churches, it becomes dead at some point. But it always goes out into the world. Salvation, until the Lord returns, salvation is available. Ezekiel chapter 10:1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. And finally, Jeremiah chapter 5:22-24, fear ye not me, saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his seasons. He reserveth it unto an appointed of weeks of the harvest. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of that concerning the latter rain, and we're going to see a lot of this as we look into the book of Revelation and about the rain. Okay, we're going to be shutting down in a few minutes. What time is it? Well, you got a couple of minutes. I don't know how much is on watch. Let me take a quick look. I don't see any hands up. Okay, it's about 3 pages. We'll pick up on watch tomorrow, and I think tomorrow we probably should be able to get. Well, that should be pretty much it. We'll be coming into Matthew chapter 23. I might or might not share a biblical calendar of time. As we're going through the book of, I might wait for that till after we get through Matthew. Matthew chapter 23 through 25, because there's going to be some clues in there on time. And at that point, we'll start looking at the calendar. And there's a lot on this calendar that I've worked out over the years. Well, many people have worked on this over the years, and I've been perplexing on this for many, many years. And constantly, from time to time, I go into the book of Revelation, I read through it, and I find a little more understanding here and a little more understanding there. And the same thing about timing. And I think I mentioned that all the seals have been opened. There are 7 seals, and seals are identifying with the fact of knowledge not yet being released. And when God comes and opens those seals, okay, that's when the knowledge comes through. And he's been opening the seal. Well, the first seal he opens up brings us right to ultimately through the resurrection of Christ. And that's when the gospel goes forward, and that's one of the first seals that are opened. But there's quite a few other seals that identify with time periods, and you can't understand anything. There was a lot of verses that I didn't understand until certain things took place and went beyond, and then you look back and you see, oh, okay, this seal now is open, and you understand it. And we're going to get more into that kind of thinking and talking. And I think as we go through the book of Revelation, you'll start to see what I'm talking about. Way back when, there was a big focus on 1994, and many of us thought that the Lord was going to come in 1994. But there were seals that weren't open. We didn't realize at that time period. And then when that came past it, and we started to realize, and we had seen there were other dates also, because the Bible has this focus on about four, five, I think 5 different dates, and it's constantly focusing on these dates. So we kind of knew that there were other focuses, but I guess we just didn't pay enough attention at that time. We thought that there was probability he'd come in 94, but of course he didn't. But it wasn't until after getting past 94 that we realized there was a time period called beginning of sorrows. Nobody even talked about that prior to that. But after we got past 94, then obviously God opened a seal and understanding, and we said, okay, we see another period of time here that we didn't see that's already passed, and 94 has already passed, and we see what happened during that time period, and then there were 3 more time periods. Okay, and the final, of course, is the return of the Lord, which I'm convinced no man knows the day or the hour. We know the season, and that's about it. I don't even think we actually could know the year, but there is something God tells us in the Bible as far as when everything is done and God is ready to come. And that could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, and I presume it could be years too. I don't think it would be years, but it could be. But that's when man says peace and safety at last. When this world says peace and safety at last, that's when utter destruction comes. And we can see that coming in the world soon, because those of us who understand what's going on and the judgment that's going to become upon this new world order, which ultimately is the Leviathan. It's the body of Satan, ultimately. But we see that judgment coming, and once these things take place, I think the whole world, because this has been the problems of wars in this world, is really this new world order that's been brewing up for probably thousands of years, as a matter of fact. This goes all the way back to Christ's time and before. But in any event, it really has solidified quite greatly over the past 50 or 100 years or so. And one of the main things that we know that we are living in the end days is the fig tree. And we're going to be looking at that in the next week or two. The fig tree, we'll be reading about that in Matthew. That is the sign. And the fig tree is Israel becoming a nation again. We'll get into more detail of that also. All right, with that, that brings us to an end for this evening. We'll be back tomorrow. If anybody's got a comment or a question before we close down, mics are open. Just have to unmute yourself. And if not, we'll close down for the evening. And I guess, you know, you can raise your hand and I'd see that, but I don't see any hands up. All right, that'll bring us to the end. We'll be back, excuse me, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow evening. We're going to pick up on Watch, and then we'll set aside the biblical calendar of time. We'll set that aside, and we'll probably pick up on that after we go through, or as we're going through Matthew, maybe, because I think that's when it's going to come up. We're going to start to see some time periods that God speaks about, and we're going to, you know, work through the Bible to try to see if God can give us some focus of time, which I know that he has, and we'll expound on that. And, of course, as we go through this study, if anybody knows of any verses that is contradiction to anything I'm teaching here, by all means, you want to bring them up, because, you know, we need to be corrected in God's Word, and I don't have everything perfect, of course. So, all right. Do you have another question, by the way? I see you're unmuted.
Oh, I just, thank you.
That's it? Okay. All right. I'm going to shut down the recording for now.